and welcome to Uncomfortable Conversations on Blueprint Coaching, the podcast about saying what's on your mind, how to say it, best practices, tactics, and not shying away from hard talks. If you've been listening up till now, there's been tons of different conversations, conversations with ourselves, conversations with loved ones, work colleagues. There are tons of talks to be had. And I'm always, you know, I'm always telling people, keep that list, write a list of these talks that you're not having. It's a step one, you know, and even if you don't want to have them, at least you'll have the list of the talks. And one day you might actually look at that list and say, okay, I'm ready to have this one. And hopefully after listening to enough of these podcasts, you'll be inspired to have more of those talks. And today I have an honored guest. I'm really, really excited to have Mariah Quesada. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. We're going to be talking about a hard talk, a talk that you want to have with your dad about your relationship. And we're going to get to that in just a second. But it's going to be like an interesting chat.
It should be.
It better be. Before that, I've got an interesting quote for you. "The less people know, the more they yell," by Seth Godin. So what comes to mind when you think of this?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. Touche. That's actually a very good point, because he doesn't necessarily seem to have many policies or many actual facts on things.
He doesn't know anything.
He says the same thing over and over again in a very loud voice. I mean, do you think that's true, that kind of when like people overcompensating a little bit?
I think when people yell, it gets your attention, and I think that's all it does. And so we might pay attention to the loudest one in the room, but the loudest one in the room might not have a lot to say. That's what the quote says to me.
And I think that's stellar. It's usually the person who doesn't speak that much, yet they have one or two things to say at the end of a meeting or very quietly, and then all eyes kind of turn to that person and really listen. It's sort of like the quieter you are, then, you know, usually those people actually have a lot to say.
The quieter one is usually the most dangerous one.
It's true. They're just sitting there plotting something. No, I completely agree with that. I mean, when you have conversations sometimes, do you find yourself yelling? Like, are you a yeller?
No, not at all. I'm the opposite. Actually, I think I'm yelling. I've always had this issue that it sounds like I'm yelling in my head and people say you're whispering.
You are a very soft-spoken person.
I don't like yelling and I don't like raising my voice. So I'd say that no. What was your question?
No. Are you a yeller? And you do not come across as a yeller at all. So, all right, let's talk about this conversation with your dad. You haven't spoken to him in a long time. And so what are we talking about? Are we talking about a talk you want to have with him or whether you should have with him? Give us a little bit of context.
Well, I'm 38 and I stopped talking to my father when I was 18. After about 8 years of no contact, we had minimal contact. And now I'm at the point where when I go back home, if he's there, I'll talk to him. It's always an uncomfortable situation for me because we haven't, throughout the last 20 years, we haven't built a relationship. But I feel like he wants just to be my dad and looks at me like the little girl and everything will be fine. And I think there's 20 years of talks that we haven't been having. And so recently he wrote asking if he could come visit this summer. And we'd seen each other over Christmas. I stopped by my brother's. He was there, and so we talked. And to me, it caught me off guard because as much as people say they're going to come visit, I know if I said yes, he'll come visit. So it's scary to me to respond. I haven't been able to respond. He wrote over a month ago, and I keep looking at it thinking, I think I have to have a conversation with him before I say yes or no. And that's just to say, when I do see you, it is uncomfortable because there's so much that it's unspoken about.
I mean, no, it sounds like you said there's 20 years of conversations in there that haven't been had. And so if there was one to be had, it sounds like there would probably be a lot to say.
It would be a long conversation.
It would be a long conversation. What would you like to happen?
I guess, you know, for a long time, I saw it as him, that it was something he needed to do, that he needed to change. And now I realize that he doesn't. He's the person he's going to be. And if I want a relationship, then it's really up to me. And I can define what that looks like. But first, I need to decide if I want a relationship. And I need to be completely honest with him. Because if I just go back to being that daughter of his, I'm not being honest with myself. And I think that's what it boils down to.
And so if you think about a relationship with him, I guess, what are you okay with? You know, you said you would need to define it.
Yeah, because I don't know what that looks like yet, but I know that it has to be more of an adult relationship, and we can't get those 20 years back. So I can't start where we were 20 years ago, and I think that's what he wants. And in order for me to be authentic and true to myself, I think it would start with a conversation saying, I hung up the phone on you 18 or 20 years ago, and we never talked about it. So I think it would have to start there. And in order for me to do that, I need to get out of the role that I played with him for so long, which was the little girl, and going back into that and sort of being afraid of him, that I need to be the strong woman I am today and tell him my views and my values and not just be daddy's little girl.
I mean, I think that it's an excellent realization that, you know, you're obviously very in tune with yourself to even see that you need to have that shift. I guess what I'm wondering is, what is it going to take for you to get out of that role and be in this role?
I just thought of the quote, maybe if I yell. If I just raise that voice, and maybe that would give me the boost of confidence I need. And I think sometimes it happens with people.
Well, it also sounds like your version of yelling might not even, you know, you'd just be speaking above a whisper. So
I'm not a good yeller is the thing. Usually I start to yell and it just comes out as crying. So,
well, would you need to cry?
Probably, but that's showing vulnerability. And with somebody who you've put up a wall in between you and him, it's not a good feeling to be vulnerable in front of someone like that.
So when you say kind of changing this role that that you had, like, sort of daddy's little girl and now you're a grown woman, I guess, what does that look like when you say kind of needing to embrace this person before you speak to him?
It's being the person I am today rather than converting to a child. You know, I think that there are father-daughter and mother-daughter relationships and you're always the child. But as an adult, and losing that, some people go through their entire life just being father and daughter, but losing those 20 years, I think that I would have to start with a friendship first.
And what would that do?
I think that would define lines. I think that he would have to be willing to sort of have a conversation with me and talk about who we are and who we were and what happened, rather than just being here and, okay, dad, you do that. He wasn't a dad. He wasn't a father. And so I would have to start from here rather than there.
It sounds like, you know, when you're speaking, I'm thinking rediscovering who both of you are right now. Mm-hmm. And kind of, okay, what possible dynamic could you guys have together based on now?
Yeah.
In terms of moving forward.
Yeah. And that, I think, is hard for me because I can't see it. You know, I can't see what can we have now because I haven't gone into the conversation yet. And maybe I'll like it. Maybe things will come out good and we'll have a beautiful relationship. I've heard those stories. But for me, I don't see how it's possible. So it's scary. It's like walking into a dark room. You don't know what's going to be in there. And so I feel very insecure and very unstable about the whole thing right now.
Well, it sounds like not knowing the outcome or how it's going to be is scary.
Yeah.
Which it always is. In other situations in your life, when, like, have you gone into conversations when you haven't known the outcome?
Yeah, over and over again. I mean, that's what we do every day, isn't it?
Right. No, and I guess I'm wondering what's I guess allowed you to have other conversations that have had an element of unknown.
That's a really good question. I think that there's probably those conversations don't have the sort of the hurt and the pain that's attached to them. And I think any time you have hurt and pain and that you need to deal with, then it's just a, sort of a horrible feeling, I think, because you know the process. For me, I know it's a process. For me, I know that a lot has to come out. And in other situations, I don't think I've had that attached to it.
No, that's a very good point. There's a 20 years of emotional baggage and scars, in a way, that are attached to this conversation.
Mm.
When you're speaking, what I'm wondering is, it's all about kind of coming up with an action and trying to see where you want to go from here. But I'm wondering, do you feel like you're ready to have this conversation?
I don't know.
Yell.
I've been thinking about having this conversation for the last 10 years. So I'd say if there were any time to have it, it's now, that I can't sit on it anymore because it's really weighing on me. And it goes away for a while and I forget about it, but then all of a sudden I'll get a Facebook message from him asking if he can come visit. So I think in order for me just to answer that message, I think I need to have the conversation with him. So yes, I guess I am ready.
Well, it sounds like a mix of you have been wanting to have it and an opportunity has presented itself that's can't necessarily shy away from.
Right.
I mean, or you could, but this is sort of like on a silver platter in a way to open that door.
Yeah.
And what will it take for you to, to say that to him? Like to kickstart and say, hey, I'd love to talk.
I mean, it sounds so simple, right?
everything sounds so simple. Life's super easy on paper.
Writing those words back to him, we need to talk, is easy. The talking part is hard. Because I know me, and every single time I fall back into the role of sort of protecting Dad. It's what we were sort of conditioned to do when we were younger. So I need to know that I'm not going to fall back into that, that I can just say how I feel and sort of separating how I feel with how he feels, because that's never happened.
They've always sort of been intertwined.
Yeah.
And so knowing that about yourself, that you don't want to slip back into protecting Dad, what would make it easier for you?
I think a telephone.
Okay, as opposed to?
To face-to-face.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what would that do?
I wouldn't see him. So I think the moment you see someone, the moment you're sitting next to someone, I think it's just natural with friends and family. You don't want to hurt the other. No matter how much I've felt hurt over what's happened between us, I still don't want to hurt him, And I think that a telephone, being in the safety of my own house and picking a comfortable place and even having to, hit things or throw things.
Have a stress ball
on
hand
and
a couple
knives. I think that might put me in a calmer position.
I think that's a very good point. It's your territory. And also, he can't necessarily see you. So, you can compose yourself as need be and take that time.
Right.
What do you think having this conversation will do for you?
I think it'll finally put it to rest. I think that no matter how much I've pushed it down and it's disappeared for a while, it always comes back up. And I could end it now, or I can spend the next 20 years fighting this. And there also might be a time where it's too late and I won't be able to have the conversation with him. He's 71 years old. He's not to say he can't live another 20 years or 30 years, but anything can happen, I think. And I don't want to have any regrets.
No, and I think that's super insightful as well, because it's the whole thing, are things left unsaid? Do we want to walk around with things being left unsaid? It sounds like when you speak that you don't necessarily want that. You said it was easy to kind of write back and say, we need to talk. yet you also said that his email's been sitting in your inbox for a month and you haven't responded. I guess, what will it take? You know, if this is a conversation you want to commit to, what will it take for you to write that to him and say, hey, look, can we talk?
I mean, it's like jumping into cold water, isn't it? You just have to do it.
Or you put like one toe in first. That's
if you
how
put
I
one toe
do
in
it.
It never works.
It's more painful. It's like ripping off the Band-Aid.
I mean, I know once I do, then it's real. Until I write those words, then I can still sit here and mull over and think about, do I want it, do I not want it, can I be bothered? You know, it's a commitment, I think. Once you write those words, then I know me, then I have to. Then you just have to have the uncomfortable conversation. What is it going to take? I don't know.
What are you most afraid of?
Open up a can of worms. You know, it's like I said, it's 20 years, and who I am today is not who I was 20 years ago. But I feel like in order to get past what's happened, we need to discuss it.
And it sounds like what you said, sounds like there might be an element of peace or tranquility that it will give you if you do broach it, just because you say it keeps coming up and it's there inside of you.
Yeah, and I think there's a side of me that knows no matter what the outcome is, if it's we have a relationship or we don't, at least I will know that we talked about it and we've settled it, no matter what the settlement is.
Well, no, I mean, I have a couple minutes left, and I thank you so much for opening up so candidly about this. You know, I know it's not an easy conversation. Sometimes having these conversations with me, I've been told, make people feel awkward or more uncomfortable because it's bringing up things that you sometimes don't even want to think about.
Right.
You know, as coaching is about action, you know, based on what we've talked about, is there anything, I guess, going through your mind now that wasn't before, or any action that you would want to take?
Anything
that you knew that is going through your mind that, I don't know, this conversation might have brought awareness to.
Yeah, I think it's brought awareness. I find things are just coming out of my mouth that I didn't think about. Like I said, I was really angry for a long time, and I pointed my finger at him, but now I sort of have to take responsibility for my part in it, and that I have to say what I need to say, and it really has nothing to do with him. So I guess those are the new thoughts going through my head.
And you know what? I'm going to base our challenge this week on what you just said, because I love that. You know, a lot of the times when you're having conversations with people, one of the things to address in an opening, not argument, an opening sentence is the role that you played in this situation. And I think it's something we leave out all too often. We're constantly thinking, okay, what happened? Why is the other person to blame? Why did the situation go wrong? But we don't always look at ourselves and say, okay, what role did I play? And I think that's great that you just said that. And so our challenge for our listeners this week is the next conversation that you have, or the next issue you want to address, ask yourselves, what is the role that you played in this? And fully, you know, take responsibility. Had I done this, or I should have done this, or this is the part that I played. So what part, what role did you play in creating this issue that is on your mind and that you want to address? So thank you, Mariah, for inspiring our weekly challenge.
Well, thank you, Sam, for listening.
And really, thank you so much for coming on the show. And keep us posted. You know, keep me posted if you do have this talk with your dad. We'd love to have you back on and see how it went.
Okay, sounds good.
Another uncomfortable conversation for you. And to all our listeners, we will be back next week. Thank you to our executive producer, Catherine Gostani, and our tech guy, Alex. And we will be back. You can email me or find my website, www.blueprintcoaching.ca. Have a great weekend.